time zone you're in or where you're listening from, but I just want to say hello and I hope you're doing well. And I'm just going to dive into this episode. I've tried to record this a couple of times, and I don't know if it's what I'm saying that spirit doesn't want me to say or what have you, but I'm going to try again. So I'm just going to be as raw and as authentic as possible and just let it flow, whatever spirit wants me to say or whatever I feel guided to say. And hopefully it's spot on so I don't have to keep recording. But let's be vulnerable here because you know me. I share a lot of my personal things, and that's the reason because I talk about mental health, I talk about my spiritual journey, my awakening and soul growth and soul purpose. And of course, being a mom is my number one, and my family. And then also I talk about just things that are going on in my life because I want people to be able to relate. And I do think though that it's very important to have self-care and take time for yourself. So that is why I took us such a long break. I needed it. I really did. And if you do follow me, you know that I've taken social media breaks before. And usually it's when I'm going through some heavy stuff because it's very important. And I recently lost my papa that I was very close to. I grew up pretty much living at his home when I was a baby. And then when my parents were on their feet and they were out, I still visited and would go there in the mornings. I remember seeing my cousins get ready for school in the morning, and I'd be laying on the couch, or sometimes I'd sneak into my papa's room because I'd get scared at night. So he would let me go in his room with him, and he would make me potatoes and eggs. And I just had the best times there. And then when I was going to college, I also asked to spend my last semester in his house, and I called it Papa's dormitory, Papa Ace dormitory, and that was his nickname. And it was also the best time because I would in turn cook for him, and we would share stories and talk about all kinds of different things. And then I would visit with my mom when I had my own kids, and each time it was kind of like a tradition to make sure that the babies got to see my papa, and we'd bring donuts and just our little things that we do. So, in a way, this is kind of therapeutic talking about it because I wanted to talk about the subject of grief. They say that you go through seven stages of grief, and I feel like that is such a cookie cutter definition. Because first of all, what are the seven stages of grief that they say? Shock and denial, anger, bargaining, guilt, depression or slash grief, reconstruction period, acceptance. Now, I've looked up so many different stages and look up the graphs, and they dip and they look like a roller coaster, and some look like a big U shape where you go from the top of the, shock to then go down and dip and then go back up to acceptance at the very top. But I also saw something that I want to give full credit to because I don't want to say that I can't take credit for other people's work. So, what did I see this? Okay, so this is from a site called ineffableliving.com, ineffableliving.com. And they say the realistic expectations for grief are one, you may naturally feel the emotion of grief, but you will have to make a conscious effort to mourn. Let's pay attention to that part. Conscious effort to mourn. Okay, I'll come back to that, but just kind of underline that in your head. Number two, your grief and mourning will impact you physically, emotionally, cognitively, socially, and spiritually. Three, you need to allow yourself to feel your emotions and externalize them to heal. Four, your grief will be unpredictable and you may find yourself oscillating between different stages of grief. Five, you don't overcome grief, you learn to live with it. Six, you will not always feel this bad. I want to go back to number five. You don't overcome grief, you learn to live with it. And then back to the number one that I said, underline conscious effort to mourn. Now, what stage am I in? I don't freaking know. But I will say this, that I have dealt with death in the recent years a lot. My papa that just passed is not my first papa to pass. I've had two other grandpas that have passed and an uncle in the last like 4 years, all from different things. Now, my papa that just passed was 92 years old, and he, like I said, me and him were very close, and I didn't take it how I thought I would. In all honesty, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop, because I thought that my grief and would be very apparent, and that I would break down and be not able to function, and just so many different thoughts in my head. And you could say that maybe it's due to the fact that he passed at 92 years old. I don't think it makes it any easier for anyone, whether they're 100 or whether they're, a child that's taken. I think that it is hard in its own respect, no matter what stage. I have had two cousins that have passed away, when they were really young. And so, I know what it feels like at different ages, but back to my grandparents, I've had my two papas, my other two papas, and one of them was older, so he, we knew that he was eventually gonna be gone, but you don't think that you want them to live forever, right? So then the other papa, though, was completely unexpected, and he had a whole freak accident. And I won't go into it because I want to be respectful of my grandpa and the way he passed. But it was very unexpected, and I took that really, really hard. In the sense that I broke down and cried and was not functional, that kind of way that I was talking about. But you know what? Like, I was close to them in different ways. I would say that my papa that recently passed, we just had a tighter bond and different kind of relationship. But I am still, I don't know, maybe I'm in denial, maybe I'm still in shock. I don't know. I did his slideshow video and I still haven't watched it all the way through. Yes, I did it, and I put all the music to it and put all the photos in, and I can tell you all the photos that were in there and the music that was in there. However, watching it all the way through and being in editing mode are two different things. So maybe that's the kind of closure I need. But I just want to state that grief does not look one way or the other, and I can see that because my papa that just passed, my papa Hector, give his name so that way you can understand what I'm who I'm talking about, and because he was phenomenal, phenomenal. He had 10 children, And I hate talking past tense. It just doesn't feel real. And it's just, maybe that's part of the shock and denial. So maybe you can be in this process with me. Because even being a spiritual person, knowing that they are where they're supposed to be and they're not in pain no more, because he was really sick. And he was, like I said, 92 years old. And he was up there in age and he was not at his best, because he was really weak and he just had a lot of different health problems going on, and the circumstances wouldn't have changed, I don't think, no matter what really anybody did. I just think that maybe part of me feels like not seeing him like that and knowing that he's smiling down and he's in heaven, at least that's what I believe, and that brings me comfort, because even it's I'm in California and it's been raining lately more than ever, which we hardly ever get any rain if you're not from California or not familiar with California. I mean, you gotta know we're the sunny state, no matter where you are, you know that. But anyways, even though it's been raining, like pouring rain, we've been having storms coming through, somehow, some way, the sun has been shining through the clouds. And I like to believe that it is my grandpa. And, when I can't remember, I want to say when I was like 13 years old, 14 maybe. Something like that. We had gone to Hawaii with him and he loved it there. He didn't like to travel very much. He had a lot of anxiety, which I can totally relate to because if you follow me, I suffered through chronic depression and anxiety. So I am not a stranger to that. And me and him would have conversations relate a lot about that. But, anyways, him going on that trip was like a big ordeal. Like, it was like we actually got him on the airplane, we actually got him to fly, we actually got him to Hawaii and to stay there. So it was a big deal. But he enjoyed it, he loved it. He went swimming, which he had a fear of swimming, and we got him to go in the pool and swim. And also, yes, we were in Hawaii, so he went to the ocean too. But there was a pool with the condos that were there. So anyways, I like to believe that when I envision him in heaven, that he has a double rainbow and he is looking onto Hawaii, and that sometimes if you know in Hawaii that there will be a rainy, like freaking rainy day, but there will still be the sun shining somehow, some way through that rainy, stormy cloud. And I like to think that the sun is just popping through and he is seeing Hawaii and being on Hawaii. So I guess part of grief is rationalizing or trying to figure out what brings you comfort. But it's also part of my belief in my spirituality. And I hope that when you think about your loved ones, that you can look at to what motivates you to kind of keep moving forward. Because another part of grief is not only dealing it with yourself, but I think also learning how other people deal with grief. And being a parent has brought that so much out. Like, my oldest asked so many questions that I never thought of before. Like, how does Papa have his wings? Who gave him his wings? And is he with God now? And why did God have to take him to heaven? And, why was it his time to go? And it's really hard questions to answer, because sometimes as adults or grown-ups, we don't have it figured out and we don't know how to deal with grief. So the only way I personally know how I've been dealing with it And like it says, you don't overcome it, you learn to deal with it, is being honest, just being really truthfully raw and authentically honest with my kid. And that means that God gave him his wings, and God said it was his time to go. And sometimes we don't always know why it's someone's time to go, but it's part of our life and part of our journey and part of our experience and part of our path. And when they ask, when will they come back, and if they will come back, I say that not in this lifetime. Maybe in another lifetime you'll see them again, or when it's your time to go to heaven. And it's a fear surrounded around it for kids, that they think you're gonna go too, and that you're gonna pass too, and that everybody who is getting older is gonna suddenly start going to heaven now. And I had explained to my daughter, we don't know exactly when, but God knows, and you don't have to worry about that, because right now we just focus on what we are doing and how we are living. And Papa would want us to live and smile and be happy, but he'd also want us to feel when we're sad and we're upset. That's okay too. If we want to feel angry and mad, that's okay too. Because we have to feel our emotions. And that's part of feeling our emotions, is part of remembering them and loving them and honoring them. But we also have to know not to sit in that. To sit in that anger, to sit in that mad frustration or guilt or anything like that, because it wouldn't have changed the outcome that now they get to walk up there and be healthy and live in love and light and look at us and shine their light bright on us and be able to live through us in a way. Again, I don't know if I have the, I don't have the per, no, I do know that I don't have the perfect answers, but I don't know if the answer I'm giving is always the best, but I try my best. And that's all you can do, is try your best with your kids, if you have any kids. And if not, try your best with yourself. What do you need to bring comfort to you? Who do you need to bring comfort for you? What is it that's gonna motivate you or keep you going? Because if it just happened though, dude, just sit in it, let yourself mourn, let yourself grieve, let yourself feel those feelings. And that's what I need to do. I know I'm still, I think, holding back some of those. And yes, I have cried, and yes, I've broken down like two times, but I didn't stay in it, partly because I didn't want to and I didn't want to believe it, but also because I know it's not healthy for me. But I also know it's not healthy that I'm pushing those emotions away, because it's not that I'm allowing myself to move forward, it's that I'm not allowing myself to feel those feelings completely. And I'm not ready for that yet, and that's okay too. And I'm being honest with you guys, like I haven't felt the feelings 100% fully. And that's the first thing I think that people need to do, is feel those feelings, feel that anger, feel that frustration, that guilt, whatever it is that you're feeling. And then, I don't know, for me it'd be journaling, or talking about it, like journal or write, or talk with a friend about why you're feeling those feelings. Why do you think that's surfacing for you and coming up for you? And then, where are you feeling it? Is it in your chest? Is it in the frequent migraine headaches that you're getting? Is it the off balance when you get up in the morning and you don't know why your equilibrium is off? Like, what is it for you? Because whatever you're mentally feeling, your body will physically start feeling. And that drainage, that fatigue, that tiredness, that overwhelm, frustration, whatever it is gonna come up until you recognize what you're feeling and why you're feeling it. Because otherwise, you're just like putting blocks and blocks and blocks over a foundation that is not solid. And eventually that foundation is going to crumble because you're not allowing yourself to stack those bricks evenly and go through the process one at a time. So again, I'm an expert. I do want to study Reiki and go back for learning like mental health and psychology and things like that. Because I want to help people with trauma and grief and loss and all those kind of things. Eventually with also my intuitiveness and spirituality, all those things combined. So I hope that this is helpful in some way or another. Okay, so I'm back. So whenever I need a little bit guidance on what to talk about or how to approach topics, especially things that are hard for me to articulate, I'll ask Spirit and my guardian angels, my spirit guides, to kind of help guide me. I clearly heard to open my book that I haven't even began to read yet, which is called Letters to a Starseed by Rebecca Campbell. And the reason I got this book in the first place is because I really think I'm a starseed. What is a starseed, real quickly? Is a person that believes that they feel kind of out of place, not at home, because they feel like they've been around all this time and coming on this path and on this journey and spiritual awakening kind of to be a light, but they don't know that quite yet when they come to Earth because they feel, like I said, kind of like an alien in a way. Not saying if I'm an alien, but it's where you basically just not knowingly know exactly like who we are, what is the soul, what are we doing here. And this is kind of helping me from Rebecca Campbell's book right now, because I'm looking at her, I think the first section actually explains what people believe is a starseed. Let me see if I can kind of bring light a little bit to that. Yeah, so the very first chapter is who are we and where do we come from? And the moment of your birth, basically she talks about before you were born, your soul, the kind of plan and the purpose that they come from. And that's kind of when we get here. We wonder, how did we get here and why did we choose to come? And all those kind of answers or questions are answered. I want to give her book away because it's not the place to do so. But so I asked some guidance and I felt called to read this part of her book, which I just happened to flip to page 89, and it's called Embracing Your Humanness. And it definitely goes with what we're talking about with it definitely goes with what we're talking about grief. And it says, no one is immune to life's pleasures and pains. Earth is a planet of polarity, and sometimes being human is challenging. So even though we may be spiritual and we look to our intuition to try to avoid these pains or to hold on to the pleasures forever, we came to experience both. So that's essentially what this page says. And again, I'm not going to read verbatim because not my place to do so. But yes, so Letters to a Starseed, Messages and Activations for Remembering Who You Are and Why You Came Here by Rebecca Campbell. I'll probably link it from my Amazon. But anyways, so thank you. angels and spirit guides for kind of helping me really navigate that. So if we dive into that from my own perspective, is yeah, I really do think it's difficult sometimes because I feel like I'm in between a lot because I really do understand that we are here for a purpose and we have a soul contract. But it kind of goes with the whole everything happens for a reason. We say it all the time. But when it comes to death, and grief and loss, we don't want to apply that because we feel like, no, why should someone be taken that young? Or why should someone be taken due to that tragic accident? Or why should someone leave it all? You know, because we selfishly, as human beings, want them. Someone to be here forever and ever and ever, and then also unselfishly, just in general, as a human being, we don't want someone to be gone or suffer or prematurely be taken from us because, especially if it's a child or an infant or a newborn or somebody, or a baby that was conceived that was never born. It's very difficult to even fathom how that there could be even a reason for that, or how could that be part of a soul contract or soul purpose or God's plan or what have you. But when I'm dealing with difficult things in my life and there are diseases that come up like cancer or things that we wouldn't even fathom before, that pop into our lives. I try to relate to things that have come up in my life that have brought me comfort. And some of those things, that I'll share with you is I like to think of the movie A Walk to Remember by, Nicholas Sparks, based on his book. And in the movie, Mandy Moore is talking about that if there was basically no suffering and no pain, then there would be no compassion. There would be no understanding and love. So basically, for everything that is kind of negative, there is a positive for. And we, having a perfect life and having everything work out for us, wouldn't teach us the other side of things. It wouldn't show us empathy, it wouldn't show us compassion, it wouldn't show us understanding, it wouldn't show us, I mean, some examples too that we can all relate to is with COVID and with September 11th for those who have experienced that and were here and saw those planes crashing on our screen TVs or even lost family members. It brought us closer together, even though through the grief and the pain and the loss, it brought humanity as a whole closer together because we were there for one another and we were all suffering through it and going through it. And it brought a lot of people to bring out kindness and paying it forward and trying to help others in need. Things that we might have not have done otherwise, as sad as that might sound or believe or to believe, I believe it's also the truth, is sometimes in life we need to hit rock bottom and we need to see the pain on other people's face to understand that we are all human beings that are going through this journey together, and we can be there for each other and relate to each other and serve our soul purpose and our journey as one instead of separate. Be united because we are all spiritual beings. And that's why I've said before is we're not spiritual beings living a human experience. We are spiritual beings living a human experience. And I always repeat it because I want people to hear it. We are spiritual beings living a human experience. But even that so does not negate that we are going through pain and loss and grief, and that doesn't take away from what we feel and what we're unhappy about, what we're angry about, what we're sad about, what we're frustrated about. We can feel all those feelings and think it, you know, fucking sucks, and still be spiritual at the same time. Like, it does suck. It freaking totally, like, flipping fucking sucks. Sorry, but it does. But I also know the flip side. Yes, I do. I know that one day I will be up there in heaven looking down, making sure that my girls continue to live life and experience life and live it to its fullest, because they have a purpose and they have their growth. And maybe when it's my time to go, that's part of their soul growth and their soul purpose, and to learn from it and to learn through those lessons. And I hope that on the other side, I can show them the way that way. Just like I know my grandma Helen and my grandpas are showing me the way still on the other side, and my soul sister and my cousins. You know, so I know that there's a bigger picture and there's a bigger message for my papa's passing. Doesn't mean that I have to just swallow it down and eat it up and like be like, okay, yeah, let's continue this journey because I'm ready. No, I'm not ready yet, and I know it. But I try to encourage others, and I try to be there, I try to be a voice, but I also try to listen, because a big part of being on this journey is having your ears open and your eyes open. And if you listen carefully, you'll hear them. If you open your eyes wide enough, you'll see their signs and see them sometimes. Actually, you know what, like, it was kind of funny, because not too long ago I started, you know, being on this different side of things where I was really like going full throttle into my spiritual awakening journey, and I really been forgiving people. Actually, recently I forgave someone that was really hard for me, but I did it, and I feel relieved and I feel good. But I'm also dealing with, you know, the death and the passing of my grandpa right now, so I'm not, like, I'm kind of at a standstill right now. But back to when I was feeling like this, like, high moment of life, I was going out with my friends that I just found these moms that from my daughter's dance, and they are like so awesome that we have a text chain, and they're always there and present, and they just uplift me, and they're genuine people. And anyways, we went out, and the person, there was a live band, and at the restaurant, this guy literally looks like one of my grandpas. And this was before my papa Hector that recently passed. This is my grandpa that I said had, you know, had a tragic accident that I wouldn't go into. But anyways, the band person literally looked like my grandpa. I could not, like, get over it, and I felt like that was his way of showing that he was with me, because it was for my birthday celebration. So it was kind of cool to, it resonated with me. And that's what you have to look for, is they will send you signs when you're open. And your energy level, it's kind of hard when you're really at a low point for them to match that energy. So not to say that you have to feel happy-go-lucky, but you need to try to recognize that they are gone and they are still with you, though, from a different place. And when you have that open dialogue and invite that conversation, you most likely will get them visiting in your dreams. Or when you journal, you might hear thoughts pop in your head where they would respond. And don't go to ego and say, oh no, that's just me thinking that I want to hear them, so they're saying this. Nope, that's them talking to you. So listen carefully and see signs, look at angel numbers, listen to music that's playing that resonates with you, special songs. There's songs that have been playing constantly lately, and I always see angel numbers, so it's really easy actually, since I see it from a kind of, I see death now as kind of from a different perspective. It's really easy for me to see those signs and to recognize those things, but I also recognize when I'm not in the right frame of mind and I'm like in a funk, which lately I've been having extreme fatigue and just feel tiredness. And yes, I'm a mom of three little ones, but it's not that kind, it's different. And I just know that I need to take some time for me to really grieve and to really process it. But now I'm ranting, so I'm probably gonna wrap it up. But I hope that this helps, and coping mechanisms that have helped me is reading books that have to do with spirituality. I'm trying to think, there is a book that if you are going through grief that I would recommend. Let me see. I think it's called, it's a spiritual book, because, I mean, come on, you know, like, with everything I talk about, that's what I would recommend. Shoot, I'm gonna probably have to ask my dad, because he's given it to me before, and it's helped. But yeah, I would recommend, some of Rebecca Campbell's books for like when you're a little bit farther in your spiritual journey. But, for a loved one, I mean, a good one too is, Teresa Caputo, Good Morning, and it's spelled MOURNING, Moving Through Everyday Losses with Wisdom from the Other Side. That one was kind of helpful, because sometimes when you read perspective from like a spiritual stance, it will help you to kind of understand, like, and bring you comfort. But if you're not into that, that's okay too. Like, you don't have to. And then I also got books that I'm going to start to read that were highly recommended, called When I'm with Jesus, for my little one, and The Invisible String. So that's two books that I am going to let you know if I think those are great for kids. But those are the ones I got so far. And then, the last one, let's Some coping ways I would recommend though is like journaling and talking about it with someone that you feel comfortable with. Maybe honoring them, like doing something like planting flowers, or I don't know, something that brings their memory. But like I said, it's a process, and I don't think you ever overcome it. I think it's something you learn to live with. So I hope that you find comfort in knowing that you're okay with where you're at. And that is today's sad episode of Hello Gorgeous Mama. No, but seriously, it's part of life and you're not alone. Okay. Good night or good morning, wherever you're at.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please leave feedback and let me know what topics you would like to talk about next. I'm excited to keep this journey with you, and thank you for listening to Hello Gorgeous Mama.